How well and how deeply do you know your consumer? This is crucial to grow your business profitably. This is the topic of our podcast today.
This is Brand Tips for Decision Makers, a show about growing your business. Here is your host, Peter Rodriguez.
So I am Peter Rodriguez, welcome, and we're going to talk about how well you know your consumer. This is a crucial element in business strategy. The better you know and the more deeply you know your consumer, the more you can create value for them and the more they will be ready to pay a premium price for whatever it is that you sell. Now, this is a very common and very simple concept to understand. However, it is missed at the most basic levels. And this is what the podcast is about today in the newsletter. So you can see my point of view on this. And I hope that you find value in order to create the type of meaning behind your brand so that people want to pay more. Now, in order to talk about how deeply your consumer knowledge is, you need to think about the questions you're asking. It all starts with quality questions, and this is where a lot of my fellow marketers forget to take enough time and enough resources to make sure that this is actually working well. Now, the impact of using the assumption of, well, we know our consumers well, and we know exactly how to market to them, and don't revising the elements that go into those assumptions is probably one of the biggest mistakes that marketers make. Now, of course, as you can imagine, the impact of this using this assumption is that you may miss on what consumers really want. You may just assume you know, but not really know it. In my many corporate roles, one of the first things that I've had to do is to look at what are the assumptions that we're making that we all talk about in an organization and how well they're connected to reality, to the facts. And in many cases, there is something like a type of culture where legends about the data become truths, and they're not true. And before you know it, you're making assumptions about what consumers really want. I remember one of my assumptions had to do with the frozen categories in Canada. And one of the things that was repeated over and over in the boardrooms was, well, consumers don't really like to go to this section in the stores. And it was like common knowledge. People were talking about it as if it were true, but it wasn't true. Like when I was given the opportunity to run this business, one of the first things I asked is, do we really know why people go there? If they don't like to go there, why is it that they don't like to go there? So I started asking and just talking to people and watching consumers. The reality is that this wasn't true, but it had been said so many times for so many years that people assumed that it was true. So we know them well. If you hear that in your organization, you can start questioning and making sure that the things that you're believing is actually true. One of the things that I have seen this create a big impact on is in the quality of the strategy. Like if you start from the wrong assumptions, there is no way that you're gonna create good strategy. There is no way that you're gonna create a growth program that you can actually count on. It will not happen. I mean, and most people do not want to spend time in order to challenge their own assumptions. And this is especially important because people change, consumers change, life changes. And if you don't validate this often, then you're going to find yourself in a position where you don't really know your consumer. So the point of this podcast episode and the newsletter this week is about make sure that you know your consumer really well and very deeply. Because otherwise, you will be defining problems where there are no problems, and you will miss the real problem. In the strategic brand leader framework, this problem falls in the, it's a fail in the strategy pillar, how to define the problem. So the fix, as you can imagine, as you've heard me talk about this in the past, is to make sure that you have a good stepping stone, step-by-step program, framework, worksheet that helps you think about the correct assumptions, because otherwise it's easy to get lost, especially if you have a lot of data, if you buy a lot of research, and if you are inundated by facts. Well, you still need to figure out which is really valuable, what is not. So use a better framework and so that you can ask and answer better questions, more insightful questions, to find the insights. At the end of the day, that's what you want to find. Find the insights. And insights, as you've heard me say, it's not about what people do or quantifying the number of things or number of times people do things. No, it is about finding out why they do things. Why do they feel that way about themselves? And how do they feel about your brand in the context of their desires? And when you know that, then you have found the insights. Why do they do things? Why do they think the way they do? And why do they behave the way they do? So how do you do that? Well, the strategy pillar that I teach about, the strategic brand leader first pillar, is strategy. And that operating system, as you know, trains you to find the real problem to solve. So to ask better and more insightful questions, you need to go back to the simplest possible way that consumers think. So I'm going to give you a few examples, a few questions that you could start thinking about, that you could reflect on, or how this applied to your situation. So for example, if you're deeply into your demographics, you may want to rethink how you view your consumers. So some of the questions that you would find in the worksheet, in the frameworks that I teach, are, for example, do you really know what matters most to your consumers? Do you really know why they engage with your brand at all? Or do you only know this for the category that your product is in? Those are very different, very different sets of information. If you only know why they come to the category, then you're missing out on the brand insight. So my question to you is, what do they really want? What is really meaningful to them? What matters most to them? Another question is, how do they perceive themselves and their desires? How do they articulate what is it that they want? It is very easy to assume, well, people want veggies, and then obviously we're in the veggies world. No, I mean, there is a lot more behind that. What are they really buying? What is it that they perceive about themselves that wants them to go and look for, in this case, veggies, as a solution for the things that they really want? And this has to do with desires, with things that are important to them. So overall, is it... if you seriously know about how they think about themselves and about the brands, your brand specifically, in context of their desires, then you're ahead of the game. So, but if you don't know that, then you need to ask those questions so that you can make sure that you have already done all the homework to know them well. By observing the behavior, and it's not only about asking in, you know, surveys and questionnaires and which have their place in this process, don't get me wrong, but you need to observe them. By observing the behavior and seeking answers to questions like the ones that I just mentioned, you will gain those insights to challenge your own thinking and to bring them to the boardroom and to challenge what you think you know. Now, the second big area where I invite you to think about whether or not you have the right set of information is about your promise. What are you promising and how are you delivering the promise? So questions that you could be asking is, what promises are they seeking and not finding in your brand, and maybe nowhere else in the category of products that you market? This is very important because this is the promise that they are actually looking for, and they may be finding this promise outside of the group of competitors that you think you compete against. You may be competing with a much broader set of brands and promises. So where are consumers finding those promises? How do they choose to buy what they buy? There are tons of things that could replace what you deliver in many ways, and I invite you to think about those things. it's not, your competitor is not the brand that does exactly the same products that you do. It is anyone who can satisfy the mindset that consumers want to feel. And that's where you should start. Now, how do you know that? You need to ask those questions. You need to observe people, because that's the only way that you can know what they buy. And along the same line, you can then define and understand what are the unique benefits of your brand that bring them closer to what they desire. And if those are clear in their mind, and if they're very powerful, then you can isolate yourself from the competition and you can create almost like a category of your own. But if you don't ask those questions, if you do not know how well you're delivering the promise that you are supposed to deliver, then that is a crucial miss. And as you talk to colleagues and other marketers, try to find out if they spark the conversations about this. And I bet you that you will find what I am finding, that a lot of people don't really know this. They don't really know how well their promise is fitting in people's lives. And the last piece is about evidence. What kind of evidence are you providing? Most marketers deliver the attributes and they market the attributes, whatever is in the product or service, and forget that it is all of those things are only valuable in the context of the promise. If you promise something that's relevant and distinctive, then the attributes that support that promise become relevant. They become also distinctive. So those, when you deliver those consistently, the people who buy from you feel that they're actually getting the value that they pay for and more. So the ideal situation is for them to believe that they're paying something that is the actual price is lower than the benefit they receive. That is delighting your customers. But you, in order to do that, you need to articulate the promise first and then support it with the right attributes. And there are not many that support that promise that are relevant. You may have 100 attributes, but maybe only one or maybe two support the promise you're making. But if you deliver those two consistently, the promise, and then deliver that with those attributes, then that builds trust. Consistency builds trust, and that provides the evidence people look for as you for your promise. So make sure that you know the attributes that actually serve as evidence. Not all attributes do, and make sure that those become your competitive edge. Do them better than anyone else, and make sure that they are easy to understand so that people can see those evidently and become convinced that that's the right choice for them. So in summary, to increase your understanding of your consumer, it's important to do this in the right order. Use a good worksheet. I'm happy to share with you the worksheets that I use so that you can clearly identify these questions and use them as you go on an everyday basis. The process is very simple, but it is not easy. But keep in mind that simplicity of insightful questions sometimes can be deceiving. So just make sure that you know the answers in depth. And there is a little bit of ingenuity in asking those questions. Sometimes people, if you ask them in the boardroom, people may say, well, we already know that, but do you really know that? That's the problem. So you will be tempted to dismiss these questions or answer them in a superficial way. But remember that this can lead to poor strategy and missed opportunities. So by truly understanding your consumers, you need to, in order to do that, you need to deep dive into their motivations, desires, perceptions, and it demands that reflection and that relook at all the information that you think you know about them. So remember, it is the quality of your understanding that will ultimately drive the success of your business expansion opportunities. And that is why this is so important. So the question for you is your brand facing the need for better analysis? Most people that I ask this question to say yes. So this is how I can help. Get a free copy of the Brian Roots Framework. Reply yes to this podcast or send me a quick reply via email or through LinkedIn, and I will email it to you. And of course, you can take an online course to learn this skill or attend a workshop. You can book a meeting with me to do that. Or more easily, I will subscribe to the Brandway Mentoring Program, where you can have access to all of my frameworks on demand. So I hope that you have found this valuable. I wish you all the best as you become a strategic brand leader and as you sharpen your skills to create value for yourself, for your company, your brand, and for everyone that your company and your brand touches. Thank you very much. I'll see you next time.
Download today's framework for free at brandmentor.ca. Build the key brand management skills that you may have overlooked or never learned. This was Brand Tips for Decision Makers, a show about growing your business produced by Brand Igniter Inc. Become a smarter marketer. Build your brand management skills so you can grow more profit with your brands. Sign up for your mentoring program at brandmentor.ca.